From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies on the Law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Exodus chapter 25 and verse 6. Oil for the light. My soul, how much thou needest this, for thy lamp will not long continue to burn without it. Thy snuff will smoke and become an offense if light be gone, and gone it will be if oil be absent. Thou hast no oil well springing up in thy human nature, and therefore thou must go to them that sell and buy for thyself. Or like the foolish virgins, thou wilt have to cry, My lamp is gone out. Even the consecrated lamps could not give light without oil. Though they shone in the tabernacle, they needed to be fed. Though no rough winds blew upon them, they required to be trimmed. And thy need is equally as great. Under the most happy circumstances, thou canst not give light for another hour, unless fresh oil of grace be given thee. It was not every oil that might be used in the Lord's service. Neither the petroleum which exudes so plentifully from the earth, nor the produce of fishes, nor that extracted from nuts would be accepted. One oil only was selected, and that was the best olive oil. Pretended grace from natural goodness, fancied grace from priestly hands, or imaginary grace from outward ceremonies will never serve the true saint of God. He knows that the Lord would not be pleased with rivers of such oil. He goes to the olive press of Gethsemane, and draws his supplies from him who was crushed therein. The oil of gospel grace is pure and free from lees and dregs, and hence the light which is fed thereon is clear and bright. Our churches are the Savior's golden candelabra, and if they are to be lights in this dark world, they must have much holy oil. Let us pray for ourselves, our ministers, and our churches, that they may never lack oil for the light. Truth, holiness, joy, knowledge, love, these are all beams of that sacred light, but we cannot give them forth unless in private we receive oil from God the Holy Ghost.
Praise ye the triune God!
you seeking to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, but sometimes hesitant because of questions you may be asked? To assist you in your efforts at personal evangelism, Let the Bible Speak is happy to offer a DVD featuring Dr. Alan Cairns answering such questions as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions in this DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, he responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to provide you free of charge this DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's words for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. As he continues this series on the Law of God, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called The Law in the Life of the Believer. The text is found in James 1, verse 25. The relationship of God's law to Christians has been and continues to be a subject of great controversy. On the one hand, there are the legalists, who believe that one can obtain acceptance with God only by keeping the Ten Commandments, which is nothing less than salvation by works. On the other hand, there are the antinomians who insist that the law of God has no place in the lives of believers in Christ. In other words, they boast that they can live as they please because they're not under the law, but under grace. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns will explain the Bible's teaching and show that Christians are called to continual obedience to God's law, and through that, to blessing and liberty. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue The Law in the Life of the Believer.
Go to most professing Christians in Greenville tonight, and they'll tell you, I know I'm saved because when I was 5 years old, I made a decision. At least my granny told me that, or my pastor told me that. I can remember nothing about it, and there's not a thing in my life to witness to it ever since, but I must be saved because they tell me I walked the aisle. God help you, man, if you think you're going to heaven and that's all you have to depend on, somebody's word. Then other people will tell you, well, I must be saved because I remember putting my hand up in a meeting and I had a funny feeling. I know many people have had many funny feelings. Doesn't say they're going to heaven. Some of you can remember an experience. I wouldn't for a moment downplay or deny the reality of an experience of a soul with God. But listen, I don't care what you felt. I don't care what elation there was in your soul. I don't care what spine-tingling feelings you had. This is what the Holy Ghost says. Here is how we know that we know Him: if we keep His commandments. The man who is walking in deliberate disobedience to the known will and commandment of God has robbed himself of the very basis of Christian assurance. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. That's what the Holy Ghost says. He that saith, I know him, but he lives a life of disregard of the law of God, the Holy Spirit says that man is a liar. And worse still, the truth is not in him. And since Jesus says, I am the truth, he's saying he is without Christ. And so, far from grace lessening a believer's obligation to keep God's law, it actually increases it. The New Testament Christian should have a greater regard for God's law than the Old Testament believer, not a lesser one. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 3:31. Do we then make void? The word that's translated make void means abolish or do away with. Do we then abolish or do away with the law through faith? Does the gospel do away with the law? Does it abolish it? What's the answer? God forbid. God forbid. Why would anybody who loves God want to do away with God's law? Paul says, yea, we establish the law. Now all that is clear, but it raises a question. In the light of all this, how are we to understand those other things that the same apostle says when he says we're dead to the law and we're not under the law? We were reading tonight in the book of Romans in chapter 7, and if you remember those verses 4 through 6, you're become dead to the law by the body of Christ. And then later, now we are delivered from the law, that being dead. I think it really should be rather we being dead to that wherein we were held. But we should serve in newness of spirit, not in oldness of the letter. We're dead to the law. What does that mean? Galatians 2:19, the same statement, I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Now let me try to explain this. In Romans chapter 7, Paul likens the sinner who's under the law, and all sinners are under the law, He likens the sinners under the law to a woman married to a husband. As long as her husband lives, she's bound to him. If she flagrantly abuses the marriage union, she's called an adulteress. If she just ignores that he's alive and takes off with somebody else, no matter what the law of the land says, God says she's an adulteress. But if her husband dies and she marries again, she's not an adulteress. Why? Because death has caused the end of the grip of the law upon her. Now, he's saying the sinner is like one married to the law. Now, follow me carefully. From the analogy, you would think that Paul was just about to say, your first husband died, the law died, and you're free to be married to Christ. That's what we would expect him to say, but that's not what he said. He said rather, and this has caused commentators all sorts of fits as they try to get around it, and I could be speaking in ignorance here, but in my quick survey of them, I didn't get anybody that really latched on to what I think is the heart of the meaning. He said, you died. Or literally, you were slain. That's the idea. You were slain in the body of Christ. When Christ was crucified, you were put to death. In the realm of the flesh, you were married to the law, but Christ satisfied the law. Christ has set you free from the condemnation of the law, and now, not on a fleshly level, and this is the key, in a higher sphere, you are married to Christ. I want you to understand this. In the sphere of the Spirit, not the flesh, you're united to Christ, who has by His death fully satisfied the law and wiped out its condemnation. That's the truth of these passages we have been reading. We're free from the condemnation of the law. And listen, when we sing, free from the law, O happy condition, we're singing we're free from the condemnation of the law. Not from the authority of the law. Understand that. The law is not dead. The law is rather satisfied. And that's what Paul means in Romans 6, for instance, verses 14 and 15. There's that wonderful promise in verse 14, sin shall not have dominion over you. Now that's a promise that every Christian must learn. We're talking now about real Christian sanctification. We're talking now about real Christian living. Victory in a real world where your body hurts and your mind is buffeted and your finances are in trouble and your family's in trouble and your business is in trouble and you're facing real life with real troubles. How can you overcome? Sin shall not have dominion over you. Some of you have been saved out of drink and drugs, and you come out and you say, well, how do I get victory? Sin shall not have dominion over you. There is an absolute promise of victory for the people of God. Why? Because you're not under the law, but under grace. And here's the key to victory. Listen to me. The key to victory starts with understanding that the law cannot condemn you. You're free from its condemnation, for Christ has satisfied it for you. And now, in the newness of life, you are free to serve your God. The old Puritans used to make a distinction between the law as a covenant and the law as a commandment. That's a very good distinction, by the way. If you don't understand it, you'll not make any sense of the New Testament. As a covenant, the law is finished for every child of God. Why? Because Christ fulfilled the covenant perfectly. I don't have to work to get to heaven. I don't have to work to make God love me. And I want to tell you, no matter what all the theonomists in the world say, God's love is not conditioned on how well I perform. It comes freely on the basis of what Christ did for me. Thank God. And let me go further than that. For some Christians are totally off the wall on this. They're totally awry. I want you to understand, the death of Jesus Christ didn't make God love me. God is love. God loved me, and therefore he gave Christ to die for me. Never put the cart before the horse. God is love. Bless God tonight. When I'm in Christ, the covenant of the law is abrogated forever. But the law as a commandment is not abrogated. The commandment still lives. It's still there. We referred to Romans chapter 6. Look at verse 15. What then, shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid. If the law as a commandment were abrogated, that verse would be nonsense. Sin is the breach of the law. And if the law as a commandment didn't exist, then Christians couldn't sin no matter what they did. They could cut your throat, it still couldn't be sin, because sin is the breach of the law. Where there's no law, there's no transgression. Without a law, there cannot be sin, no matter what people would do. Paul is saying, no, as a covenant, the law is taken away. As a means of getting to heaven, the law is removed. As a means of justification, it's gone. We are now dependent on Christ. But shall we on that basis argue that we don't owe any obedience to the law of God? He says, God forbid. No, no, the commandment lives on. The last time I preached on the law, I preached on the unlawful use of the law, if you remember. And in 1 Timothy 1, 9 and 10, the verses we looked at, we have a statement there that antinomians make very much of. The law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, and goes on down a list of all these wicked people. The law is not made. You look up all the commentators, most of them will tell you the law was not enacted for a righteous man. The law is enacted for sinners. I believe they have missed the point. The word that is translated made is a word that has various applications, but literally it is to lie upon. And I think what Paul is saying is that the law does not lie with a burden, especially of condemnation, upon a saved man. He certainly doesn't mean the law was not enacted for a righteous man. To whom did God first give his law? To Adam in the Garden of Eden. Was Adam a righteous man then? Sure he was. But God gave him his law. The Lord Jesus Christ was righteous. And listen, he was made under the law. So the law was enacted for righteous and unrighteous. Those words have no meaning apart for creatures, apart from the law. The old Puritans had the grip on this text. I have to say to you, if you really want to understand what the Bible teaches about the Christian and the law and Christian living and Christian sanctification, you need to go away back beyond the 20th century and even the 19th century and the 18th century and the 17th. Well, the 17th would be the one. Get to the Puritans, the old English theologians and preachers who knew the book on this subject.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak. the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.